Bacala. You know what bacala is, right? It's codfish. Yep. And you put the bacala out in the sun, boy. Woof. Smells like bacala. And that's what we have a lot of bacala in the news. Of course, Bernie Sanders endorsed Hillary Clinton. And to the dismay of many of his supporters, but you know the way that goes. It's politics. And people ask me, why did he do it? Well, he's a politician, number one. And number two, when you look at the guy, you know, is he 40 years in politics? 40 years. One way or another, you know, as mayor in Burlington, and other positions he's had, and then as a congressman and a senator. So the guy's been, you know, sucking off the public system his entire life. And he's never really gotten very far with it. You know, nothing he's done of any renown. And so by signing on to the Clinton team, if she wins, you know, maybe he'll have a position somewhere or another. And by the way, we still don't rule him out as a possibility for the vice presidency. Because there's really no outstanding characters there in either party, obviously. Republican or Democratic, that you know, the people are going to say, wow, great vice president. It's like having another Biden or a Dan Quayle, you know. What do these guys do other than fly around the world in big jets and live like kings, nobility, the lords? So Bernie's still in there. And, you know, some of the things that he said yesterday. Yeah, it's together we have begun to build a political revolution to transform America, and that revolution continues. No, it doesn't. It's no revolution. It's not even an evolution. It's a devolution. It's a decline of society as I see it. This campaign is not really about Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or any other candidates who sought the presidency, Sanders said. This campaign is about the needs of the American people and addressing the very serious crises that we face. And there's no doubt in my mind that as we head into November, Hillary Clinton is far and away the best candidate to do that. You want to vomit? The best candidate, what has she done? What has she done in all her years in politics? I forgot the Libyan war. You like that one, huh, Bernie? Of course you do, because you co-sponsored the resolution that Gaddafi has to stand down in a no-fly zone over Libya. And you support Assad has to go. Huh? Yeah, you supported that too. So I guess you would look up to Hitlery. It's no secret that Hillary Clinton and I disagree on a number of issues. That's what this campaign has been about. That's what democracy is about, Sanders said. Hey, Bernie, that's not what democracy is about. This is not a democracy in America. It's a neo-feudal society run by the Bloods and the Crips that you folks out there like to call the Republicans and the Democrats. with more blood on their hands and stolen money in their pockets than you could ever count. Too big to fail, too big to jail. Hillary gets a free ride from the FBI. They could break the law with impunity. Not one head rolled on Wall Street. Democracy. Grow up. What am I? What are you talking to you? To the 10th grade high school students? Well, the supporters that believe you. Democracy. We got a two-party system. That's a one-party system. I remember when I was a kid and they had the Soviet Union. And they used to have elections. And then the media would make fun of it. They said, elections. What are you kidding? 96% of the people got reelected in the Soviet Union. Yeah, it kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? When you got the gang of 535, the senators and congressmen. You look at their reelection records. It's like 94%, 92%. Politicians for life. Like Bernie. B.S. Bernie. Supported Clinton's murderous Iraqi wars. Supported the Serbian war. Supported the Afghan war. Supported the war budgets. I voted against Iraq. Yeah, I know. It's not democracy. It's a neo-feudal society. We have different laws for the economic elite and the political nobility. You need no more proof than the facts. Again, not one head rolled on the Holder. Eric Holder, the Attorney General, another slimy, low-life human being who now works for the big white shoe boy firms on Wall Street that protects the Wall Street gang from going to jail. Not one head. It's a neo-feudal society. The laws are only there for we the little people to obey. End of story. And again, Sanders goes on, a significant coming together between the two campaigns will be by far the most progressive platform in the history of the Democratic Party. Progressive platform of war, murder, and thievery. I guess when you're a BS Bernie man and the rest of the clowns out there, you call that progressive. What disgusting BS. Progressive. Unions are nothing anymore in this country, and they support her as well.
I'm going to give them free education, free health care. I voted against the Iraq war. We could use that money in the war.
Stop your BS. Progressive. And Hillary calls herself a progressive, too. And people buy it. Well, maybe they won't. But so far, they will. You know, Trump came out and said, Bernie is now officially part of the rigged system. He tweeted that, the tweeting king. He's right. And he said, says it's like Occupy Wall Street endorsing Goldman Sachs. Sanders supporting Kent Clinton is like Occupy Wall Street endorsing Goldman Sachs. And for once, I have to agree with Trump. It's exactly what he did. I have come here, Sanders said yesterday, to make it as clear as possible as to why I'm endorsing Hillary Clinton and why she must become our next El Presidente of Los Estados Unidos, the country that's run by a little mafia. And they give El Presidente the power to murder people around the world with drones, start wars without Congress taking us to them or voting on them like we're in Iraq. No boots on the ground, Obama said. Yeah, boots are back on the ground. No boots on the ground in Syria. Yeah, boots are on the ground. Yeah, but I changed my mind. We've got to get ISIS. Bah. Yep, so that's it on the campaign front to an extent. And you look at the polls, most Americans are frustrated with this race. 70% of respondents describe themselves as frustrated with the election, while more than half, including majorities of both Republicans and Democrats, call themselves angry, according to the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research poll. Only 23% said they were excited about the election, while 37% felt hopeful. Yeah, hope. Hope and change you can believe in. Yeah, small change. That's what Obama delivered. Is there such thing as change of a penny? That's about how much he gave us of change. The militaristic Obama over there in NATO this past weekend at the Warsaw Summit. Warsaw, perfect name. As the United States is going to spend about $1 billion more to threaten Russia with more troops in the Baltic states, such as Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, tiny little nothing countries. And America's putting a presence there with NATO. The guy that ran as an anti-war president and called Iraq a dumb war, yeah, and a dumb SOB is still there. Our money, as this country goes down the crapper. You been to Flint lately? You have any water there? Maybe we sell bottled water from Flint. That should be a good business. Spending all this money murdering people around the world and no money for we the people. So that's what this election is about. More fraud. More deceit. Same crew. And again, Obama over there in NATO, how the United States has to lead the world. And our responsibility. Who made this stuff up? Sick people, that's who. And they're complaining about the migrant crisis and the refugee crisis without pointing the finger on who caused the crisis. But those are only details. Why should I get upset? It's kind of like the details that came out last week. It's out of the news now about the Chilcot report out of the UK showing how Tony Blair lied his nation into war and how they're doing it right here and how they did it here in the United States. But again, that's not part of the news. It's off the radar. War crimes. Overt war crimes. And nobody's called out on them. You know why? It goes back. A neo-feudal society. They can get away with murder, and they do. And you know, make sure you don't have the brake lights are working. Make sure you put on your signal light when you changed lanes. You were going 8 miles over the limit. Where'd you come from? Did you have anything to drink? I had 2 glasses of wine. Get out of the car. Yeah. Say the alphabet backwards. I can't say the alphabet backwards straight. Say the alphabet backwards and don't give me any of your back talk. Stand on 1 foot, put your hands on your head and do a somersault. All right, get in the car. And they handcuff you. And they take you to jail. And under Obama, now they could go anywhere inside your body cavities once they get you into jail that they want to for any reason. Once you're arrested. That's right. They fought for that in the Supreme Court. While they commit murder and rob our money. Don't get upset. Voters are angry. Be calm. No need to be angry. It's America. It's a takeover. It's fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. Those are not empty words. Those are facts. Too big to fail. In capitalism, there's no such thing. It's a corrupt system from throughout the state, throughout the counties, throughout the country. Clinton or Trump, voters say no. Yeah, both of them with their ratings of unpopularity were off the charts. Clinton's like up to 56 now. Ugh. Trump is in his 60s. Oh, and then Obama carrying on all the time about this is not a reality show. Yes, it is. And that's all it is. He keeps saying this over and over and over and over. When he went down to Charlotte, about a week or so ago, Charlotte, North Carolina, to endorse Hillary. And this is the day, by the way, that the FBI gives her a free ride. He tells the crowd, this is how he opens it up. This is not entertainment. This is not a reality show. That's Obama's words. This is the man that told the students, graduating students at Howard University, that Shonda Rhimes, whatever her name is, runs Thursday, or owns Thursday, and Beyonce runs the world. That's the level of the imbecile in chief. Can you imagine Eisenhower saying something so stupid? Anyway, this is in July, right? Just last week. That's what Obama, this is not entertainment, this is not a reality show. No? Yeah. This is the way he opens his speech. Not entertainment? Hillary, 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 Hillary. Oh, and applause. How you doing, Charlotte? Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? Fired up? Again, this is the president of the United States of America. Not entertainment, not a reality show, a teleprompted reality show. A nobody community organizer who organized nothing and hit the main stage after Oprah Winfrey took him under her wing, the queen of TV, back in 2007. She had never endorsed anyone before. And I've been on Oprah twice. I know what a pro she was. I've been on every show, you name it, from O'Reilly to Brian Williams. You know, you name the show, I've been on, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, Joan London. I've been on with all of them in the day. And nobody put on a show like Oprah. It's a Harpo production. She didn't become the queen of TV for nothing. Very smart. And when she took Obama under her wing, man, the game changed. So anyway, going back, this is the way he opens up his speech endorsing Hillary last week in North Carolina. Hillary, 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 Hillary. Oh, how you doing, Charlotte? Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? Now, first of all, let me just say, I like any excuse to come to North Carolina. Applause. I just like North Carolina. Applause. I love the people in North Carolina. I love the people. three shots, how much, any excuse to come to North Carolina. Yeah, it's why you vacation in Hawaii in the winter and up at Martha Vineyard in the summer, huh? It could be any excuse to go to North Carolina. You love it so much. You love the people. All the people you love, how do you love them? When we used to campaign here, I used to say, even the people who aren't voting for me are nice. Applause. You know, that's not true everywhere. Laughter. I'm reading from a transcript, by the way. So you got great people here. Great people. Yeah, we got great people in North Carolina. Everybody knows the greatest people around are in North Carolina. Great people in North Carolina. And then you got great food. Great people, great food. Not entertainment. Not a reality show. North Carolina has got some food. In fact, I will find some place to stop and get some food before I head back to D.C. Applause. I know you all have recommendations. Laughter. I know I can't go to your house and get the food. Laughter. Although I'm sure you're an excellent cook. Not entertainment. Not a reality show. This, to me, and you know the motto of the Trends Journal, think for yourself, I think this is low-life comedy. I think this man is a disgrace to represent me as a taxpayer in the United States of America. He does not represent me, nor does Clinton, nor does Ryan, nor does McConnell, nor do McCain, nor do any of the Democrats and Republicans. Or Dumbocrats. Blaring out of this arrogant guy's mouth these stupid lines. He's not finished. And you've got great basketball. Yeah, you've got great basketball. We all know that. Don't you know that, folks? They got great basketball over there. We all know that. But I'm not going to get in between the Tar Heel and Wolfpack. You know? Everybody applause. Yeah, Blue Devils. Sea Deacons. I'm not going to get into all that. You just have great basketball in North Carolina. So I love an excuse to come to North Carolina. As I said, you know, the man who vacations with his family in Martha's Vineyard in the summer in Hawaii in the winter blows out BS about making any excuse to come to North Carolina. And how he loves the great people, great food, great basketball. You've got great basketball. You have great basketball in North Carolina. Great, 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 great. Folks, it's the greatest show on earth, a three-ring American circus. And with each passing decade, the presidential bar has been lowered to such subhuman levels that dignity, respect, courage, passion for peace, personal grace, natural beauty, and the general welfare and past the prosperity have been destroyed. And what do we have instead? Scripted performances by bad actors, by casts of sociopaths, psychopaths, narcissists, cowards, liars, freaks, and fools. It's the presidential reality show, not entertainment. And just to show you, what a fraud this guy is. At the, when he was running back in 2007, he was candidate Obama, and he was addressing the Democratic National Committee. Remember, this 2007. Quote, if you look at all the cameras gathered around here and the clicking of the photographers and the pundits who are collected, you know, sometimes you feel like you're part of a reality show. You know, you feel like this is American Idol or Survivor. You're trying to figure out, are you going to go to Hollywood? Are you going to be voted off the island? That's Obama's quote. So when he says this is not a reality show, again, the liar in chief keeps lying because he himself called it a reality show, and that's all he's been playing. As a matter of fact, the Trend Research Institute, the Trends Journal, we own the trademark, presidential reality show. But we coined the term back in 2008 when Obama, who was lagging behind front-runner Hillary Clinton in the early polls, rose to stardom, as I said, after Oprah Winfrey jumped in to support him and kicked his campaign into high gear. I remember it well. Whether it was a stadium spectacle or a small town meeting, with the Queen of TV in his corner, every Obama campaign event was staged to perfection. And as I said on a personal note, having appeared many times on all the major network TV shows and morning shows, and a guest of Oprah twice, I witnessed firsthand how far superior her Harpo productions were than any of the networks. And as I saw, it was more than celebrity witchcraft that endeared and still does Oprah to her millions of dedicated fans. It's stagecraft. And that's all this is. It's a presidential reality show. So, moving on to some international news. Interesting over there what happened in the UK. You know, they had that Brexit vote back on June 23rd. Of course, we've written about that, talked about it on Progressive Radio Network, about how the people in the UK voted to exit the European Union and what it would mean. Well, today, David Cameron bowed out as Prime Minister. If you go back to after the Brexit vote, he said he wouldn't do it to October. And this is like, you know, still July. And he's gone. And Theresa May is in her place. So I was thinking about it. Theresa May. And of course, the UK had the Iron Lady, Margaret Thatcher, who helped destroy the nation, take social programs away from the people. I was thinking, now you're looking at three of the largest countries in the world, most powerful, the UK with Theresa May, Germany with Angela Merkel, and now possibly the United States, Hillary Clinton. So there are three women in charge of three of the most powerful nations in the world. Have we seen great peace come from Germany with Angela Merkel in? Not at all. It was her and the United States, Germany and the United States, that overthrew the democratically elected government in Ukraine in a coup attempt. Well, not a coup attempt, a coup. And now they're sending more troops into Afghanistan and building up NATO. Again, as I keep saying, it's not about race, creed, color, or gender. It's about people. And good and bad comes in all the colors, races, creeds, and genders. It'll be interesting to see if this does happen. But our forecast at this time, again, still is that Trump is going to trump Clinton. As a matter of fact, the latest polls coming out showing that in swing states that Trump is now gaining a lead on her. And it's important because although more Hispanics and women are going to obviously vote for Hillary Clinton, and a sizable portion in those swing states are Latinos, which a vast majority are going to vote for Clinton. Being that this is an electoral process, it comes down to what state you win. And we're forecasting that Trump is going to beat Clinton in the Rust Belt states by keep going after her for supporting NAFTA and also the Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, which she called the gold standard, but of course now backed down on, just like she reversed her stand on, you know, gay marriages, you name it. Yeah, when the tide changes, she's there with it. But Clinton, that's why we think Trump is going to beat her. And when you look at the polls, you know, it's over 70-80% of the people, the economy is the most important issue. I want to talk a little bit more about Theresa May, because this is very significant as we see it, her taking charge over there in the UK after the Brexit vote. Now let's go back to when it happened and how people were saying that, oh, they're not going to implement it. That was the big buzz that first came out, if you recall. Well, they are implementing it. And she said she's going to implement it. They're going to pull out of the European Union. That's pretty big news. And in her saying that they're going to pull out, I'd like to read you a quote. This was going on during the Brexit vote. She didn't become very involved in it. She kind of stayed in the background. She was notably not very vocal in it. But what she did say was, quote, Britain is big enough and strong enough to be a success story in or out of the EU. And I fully, wholeheartedly agree with Miss May, because that's one of our top trends for 2016. Self-sustaining economies. Made in UK with pride. Bring back manufacturing. Break up the multinationals. Become on-trendpreneurs. Build your country within your country. It's wonderful to believe that you could take in migrants and refugees from all over the world, but it's a numbers issue as well, and it's a job issue. So, for example, you go back to the greatest refugee crisis in the history of modern world, and it's World War II. In World War II, there were about 2.5 million people. We've added about 5 million since, 2.3 billion, excuse me. There were about 2.3 billion people when World War II broke out. Now we have about 7.2 billion people. So we added 5 billion people. That was the worst refugee crisis? No. The worst refugee crisis, according to the United Nations, is now. So going beyond the refugee and migrant crisis, what's going on across Europe is that people are tired of the elites and being ruled by Brussels and central powers. They want their nationalities and identity back. And you're seeing referendums now coming up in Italy and Austria. In Austria, they're having a re-election, excuse me, not a referendum. In Hungary, they are, on the migrant issues. So referendums are going to become more and more. They have one in Gibraltar as well. And what's England doing in Gibraltar? I mean, it was part of Spain until they conquered it, right? It's like being down in the Falkland Islands off the coast of Argentina. It's still there. Can't get over that sun never sets on the British Empire trip, can you? So referendums and direct democracy are a big trend. And what Theresa May is saying, that the UK is okay to take care of itself. Britain is big enough and strong enough to be a success story. In or out of the EU. To me, again, think for yourself, the way I see it, and we see it here at the Trends Journal, is that self-sustainability, it's the only way. We have a country of, what, 312 million, 18 million people, about 318 million people, I think. Can we make our own shoes, shirts, computers, shovels, and anything else? It's more than buy local, it's buy national. Made in USA. The more we make, the more we make in money, rather than the money being flowed out into the multinationals and where they're getting the products made with slave labor countries. This isn't free trade nor fair trade. It's rigged game. So, self-sustainability, a major trend. And you're going to see more of it as people are getting more and more fed up with the political elites, and they feel the same way around the world. And that's why, by the way, you have the populist movement. It's not really that great here in the United States, but Trump, to some extent, does symbolize that, the disgust with the two-headed, one-party system that's been ruling the world or the nation for so long. And let's take a look about what's going on also in the economy, because this is a very critical time right now. You know how I always say that I didn't make the saying up, obviously, that the fish rots from the head down. Why do we have all this military mindset in this nation? Look at that crazy guy that killed those Dallas police and slaughtered them. Military mindset. We have the President of the United States quoted in the book Double Down as saying that, quote, I'm really good at killing people. When he signs off on the kill list on Terror Tuesday, who they're going to drone to death. And again, according to the data, over 4,000 civilians, innocent people, slaughtered since by Obama. I mean, he's the guy that signs off since he became president, 2009. And then when you look at the polls, who do Americans hold in the highest regard? The military. It's like 73%. Congress is like around 8%. Military is right at the top, followed by police. So it's the military mindset. The fish rots from the head down. Slaughtering people all over the world in the name of what? Freedom and democracy? As they rob us of ours? So, taking it to the other levels, the same holds true when it comes to the economy. You look at, as trend forecasts, as globalnomic is our term, you look at it from many different directions. So with the fish rotting from the head down, look what's going on in the retail sector. Yesterday, Burberry, which of course is a luxury fashion house, British luxury fashion house, they just named a new chief executive. Old one out, new one in. And the reason is that about one-fifth the value of the stock has dropped since this guy took over in 2014. But it's bigger than that. It's not his fault. I mean, they're losing sales, particularly among the Chinese buyers, which account for about 40% of Burberry's group sales. And there are reasons for that, because the Chinese economy is on a downcline, and A lot of them used to go to Hong Kong for tourism, but that's way off, so sales are plummeting. But it's not only Burberry. Look what's going on right here in New York City. Pick up yesterday's New York Times. Read the front page story down the bottom. And what's it talk about? Well, it talks about all those people that are no longer buying those multi-billion-dollar or multi-million-dollar homes or apartments, luxury apartments. Way off. Sales are way off. They're even down in the 10 millions. They're way off. People can't afford it. The whole system is collapsing in front of our face. The fish rots from the head down. So when you read a story, a falling market for trophy homes in the sky. New York City's ultra-luxury real estate frenzy, with its sky-piercing condominium towers and $100 million price tags, has finally come to an end. It goes on to say, but today, a four-year construction boom aimed at buyers willing to spend $10 million or more has flooded the top of the market, just as the global market turmoil has caused wealthy investors to pull back, and the federal government has moved to scrutinize some all-cash transactions. $10 million or more has flooded the market, just as the global market turmoil has caused wealthy investors to pull back. Wealthy investors goes back, let's make it globalnomic, to Theresa May saying that the UK could be great with or without the EU if you make your own products. Wealthy investors make nothing other than more money for themselves. And that's why you have the gap between the rich and the poor right now in the United States, the widest of any of the industrialized nations. We're not making anything. Only the investors are. And the investors only invest in making more money for themselves. And again, you look at Picasso paintings, down in price. The fish rots from the head down. You know, I mentioned about about China. Again, putting all the pieces together, making connections. What Burberry, 40% of the sales. Same thing. China buys about 40%, 50% of copper, iron ore, nickel. A lot of the natural resources. So let's take a globalnomic viewpoint. It's not only because the 40% sales because Chinese tourists aren't going to Hong Kong and sales are down. How's this for you? Just came out. China's June imports fall more than expected. I always love that line, more than expected. More than expected by whom? By Mickey Mouse? Or the prostitutes in the business media? Everybody knows this thing is going down in China, despite the trillions of yuan that they pumped into the system in terms of quantitative easing and other scams and schemes to pump up the failing economy with its ghost cities and infrastructure to nowhere. China's June exports fell more than expected, while imports also saw steeper falls than forecast. Again, sales are down 40% in Burberry in China sales. China consumes, as I said, it's not only retail, iron ore, copper, zinc, nickel, on and on. Now, imports declined 8.4%. That compared with them tanking 4.1% on year back in May. And that was double April's 1.8% fall. And then you look at exports. Well, they're selling less. Exports are down nearly 5%, 4.8%. So they're exporting less, they're importing less. Could anybody call it a global recession? Global demand is down. And you're only seeing moderate demand in China. So the numbers add up to not a very pretty picture. And as we see it, it's global. I just mentioned about what's going on in China. Japan core machinery orders fall in May against expectations of a rise. Again, unexpected. Unexpected by whom? Japan's core machinery orders fell 1.4% in May from the previous month, down for the second straight month. The fall in core orders, a highly volatile data series regarded as an indicator of capital spending in the coming 6 to 9 months, compared with economist median estimate. Remember, it fell 1.4%. They were looking for a 2.6% increase. So, you have a global slowdown, but yet the markets are soaring. And you know why? They had an election over there in Japan on Sunday. And Shinzo Abe, who's the prime minister over there, his party won big. So that's going to allow them to do another round of Abenomics. That's right, more quantitative easing. This is a country with negative interest rates. This is a country that has already gone through two rounds of Abenomics. Total failure. This is a country that's been going in and out of recession for several years. So what happened is, following Friday's release of the job numbers, where they created more jobs than expected, and again, when you look at the jobs, they're lousy paying jobs. Remember, America's lost some 5 million jobs in manufacturing over the last 16 years. 5 million. You know what they've been replaced with? Low-paying jobs in retail, leisure, hospitality, healthcare jobs. I love it, leisure and hospitality. Bartenders, waiters, waitresses. People can't find working jobs. Or jobs that pay a working living, excuse me. So the markets go up on that news, but they really jumped up on the news of more round of Abenomics, juicing the system after it's failed before. So I don't call this Abenomics. I call it Ponzinomics. This is a global Ponzi scheme put on by the central bankers. And again, it's robbing us, the people, of our money, because we have nowhere to put it. If you have a couple of extra bucks, you can't put it in the bank and get money for it back anymore. There's no such thing as savings accounts. Not with negative and zero interest rate policy. So the markets go up on the news that Abe came out and said that, quote, "We are going to make bold investments into seeds of future growth." Bold investments. What investments? You're going to juice the market again with more fake dough. Now, this is a country with an $11 trillion debt and a debt-to-GDP ratio of about 245. That's like off the charts. And now they're going to go deeper in debt. It hasn't worked before. Now it's going to work again. If you don't fail before, fail again. And the markets, poof, the Nikkei shot up. I mean, it's booming. It's up about 8% since Monday. Now, this is the Nikkei that ended June. I mean, we're only in July. It was down 18% this year. And down over 25% below its June 2015 high. And that's, you know, what they call a bear market. And now it spikes some 8% in 3 days. I mean, for what? Because you're going to do another round of failure that's going to put your country deeper in debt, devalue your currency, and you're a big importing country. So that means it's going to cost the people more to buy things. And this is a guy, by the way, another one with an attitude. Since Abe's taken office in 2012, 4 years, the economy's grown the grand total of 2.4%. And the markets go up on this news. So with a cheaper economy, a cheaper yen, because it's going to push the yen, value of the yen down as they really get into this and start pumping out more dough. As I said, it's going to spread hardship throughout the economy. And people have to pay for it, society, but they don't care. Because they're the political nobility. They're living on easy street. So import prices go up, and that's going to exacerbate weak consumer spending already brought on by years of real wage declines in the overall economy. So why are the markets going up? Makes no sense. Makes perfect sense. It's Ponzinomics. That's right. They're juicing the markets with more cheap money so that the investors, aka gamblers, can keep pumping it up. That's all they're doing. They're borrowing money for nothing, more merger and acquisition activity, even though that's slowed down, still going on. Borrow money for free and buy somebody big. And, of course, you can gamble for free. That's what's juicing the markets. So here in the United States, the Dow's hit a new high. For what? Earnings stink. Been down for a couple of quarters. GDP growth is tepid at best. Price-earnings ratios and stocks are way overvalued. Went up on news. And then you see these wild fluctuations in the oil markets. They're 5% one day, down 5% the next day on the same news. Supply is increased, supply decreased. Now, it's nothing. It's a global economy. Go back to China, make it globalnomic. Again, if China's not manufacturing, the world isn't buying, the people selling them the product aren't selling. You look across the Middle East, the Middle Eastern states, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Kuwait, United Arab Republic. One after another, their debt is being downgraded. The nations are being downgraded. Because, take Saudi Arabia, they need oil at $100 a barrel just to break even. And now we're talking about Brent as we speak, $46 a barrel. United Arab Emirates, excuse me, not Republic. Anyway, brings us back to gold. Gold took a bit of a hit, but it's still trading it at $1,343. So it's up, what, almost about 25% this year. Again, we do not give financial advice. Our forecast is that when gold takes a hit, it could go down to below, back down to the 1200s. We think that's going to be the last time it goes that low. And it's going to go back up slowly, possibly spike up. But our forecast is when gold spikes, when gold goes over $1,400 an ounce, and it's not that far away from it, and then stabilizes, gets to around 1450, 1480, 1470, 1430, 1490, bouncing around in that range, we believe it's going to spike to 2000 marks. There's a global recession going on. You go back to the NATO meeting that happened this past weekend in Warsaw. Yeah, more war from Warsaw. United States keeps threatening Russia with more anti-ballistic systems, missile systems being put up, sending troops to the borders, NATO doing exercises with 40,000 troops on Russia's borders. Remember, when all else fails, they take you to war. And war is coming more and more closer to the horizon as we see it. And get the people's mind off the terrible economy. But again, we're not gloom and doomers. As I say, if Obama can, Clinton can, Bush can, Kerry can, Cameron can, Blair can, you can, I can. Unless, of course, you think their mother's better than yours. So, let's just call it even. The future's in your hands. Again, trendsresearch.com. We'll give you history before. We know there are a lot of people having difficult times. You have a discount request page. Trendsresearch.com, Trends Journal. Thank you very much. Remember, one man, one person of courage makes a majority. And tag, you're it. And if you don't change it, they'll change it for you. We need to rally around peace, love, beauty, joy, health, well-being, and love. Cella luna mezza mare, mamma mia, mia madre.